And let us turn in our Bibles to read together God's Word. We turn to Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40. I want to read through the first verse of the next chapter. Genesis chapter 40. Our text will be Genesis chapter 40. But I want to read through the first verse of the next chapter because it puts us in consciousness of what's going on here. So let us read together the word of our God from Genesis chapter 40. And it came to pass, after these things, that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the prison of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in the ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream, and one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sad today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and then there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph, and said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine there were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it, the three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head, and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I was in also in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation thereof, the 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head off from thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh off of thee. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, and Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Thus far the reading of the word of our God, may he add his blessing to it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we continue to look at Joseph's life, as we continue to see how his life continues down the pathway of great trial, which God has placed before him, we also see that God is preparing and providing for him great and wonderful things. And so, brothers and sisters, as we live in our lives in this world, so easy for us to see the problems that are in front of us, and to be downcast in those problems, and not to seek what the Lord is doing through them. And so, brothers and sisters, as we look at Joseph, we see a Christian a right view of the trials which are to come upon us within this world. We see that Joseph is always prepared, serving the Lord, even in the greatest of trials. And so, brothers and sisters, the theme that we want to see in our passage this morning is God uses His people's obediences for His glory and their own good in His time. God uses His people's obediences for His glory and their own good in His time. In verses 1 through 7, we see that we are to know our neighbor's goods. To know our neighbor's needs, I'm sorry. In verses 8 through 19, we see that God is the interpreter of all things. And in verses 20 through 23, we see that God provides in His time. And so, brothers and sisters, we see that Joseph knows his neighbor's needs. Joseph was charged with the care of Pharaoh's prisoners. Again, he is given a God-given position of authority even over Pharaoh's prisoners. Notice they're not given authority over him. He is placed to serve them. They were in custody for a while. This isn't something that happened overnight here. Verse 4, at the end of the verse, and they continued a season in the war. They were there a while. And so this isn't something that just, well, boom, 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 these events happened one after the other, after the other, and Joseph had a pretty good slide to prison. In fact, the word that's regularly translated prison in our passage this morning is actually the word for a pit. It's interesting how this translation renders it a house once in a while as well. The word there is a pit. That's actually the same word that one of the prophets was in a pit for a long time as the people of Israel rejected his prophecy. So Joseph is serving them in the prison. And the ward in the house of the captain of the guard put them into the place where Joseph was bound, verse 4, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. They're under Joseph's charge, and he served them. Notice Joseph is looking outward instead of inward. He's caring for others instead of wallowing in self-pity. Joseph, we see, knew that their demeanor had changed. He was not absorbed in his own problems so much that he couldn't see out. But he was looking outward, as we said, serving them. It can be easy for us to focus on our own problems and forget others. Especially those outside of God's church, even beyond that. Although sadly, I think we treat too much everyone the same, without noticing anything. But notice that Joseph here is not just sitting around in prison, okay, well, I'm stuck here in the pit. It's a pretty terrible place. But Joseph is focusing outward, witnessing to those around him. Notice that he focuses on God as the interpreter of all things. If we read later on, he says to them, "Wherefore look ye so sad today?" Verse 7. And they said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And what does Joseph say? And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." Where is he even in this horrible situation? He's gone downhill and downhill and downhill from being the most loved son of his father to being in a pit, in a prison, in Egypt. His focus is on the glory of God. It doesn't matter what our situations are. It matters who we are focused on. And in his witness, then, he focuses on God as the interpreter of dreams. We are called as Christians to be in the world, but not of the world. We are called to be in the world. That means we're in contact with those around us. But our minds ought not be preoccupied with the things of this world. Instead, they are to be on the things of God. And so we ought not be preoccupied with things like covetousness or gossip. And those are things that our culture just glorifies all over the place. Among other things, of course. Sinful things. Instead, our focus is to be on the glory of God. Paul writes to the Philippians, Philippians 2, 14 and 15, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." If we live Christian lives in this world, people are going to take notice. Because we're going to stick out like a sore thumb. And we do. All over the place. And so, brothers and sisters, Joseph was there knowing his neighbor's needs. He had contact with those around him. And he knew them well enough to say, "You're not happy today." That takes knowing somebody pretty well, brothers and sisters. "You're not happy today. Why are you unhappy?" And it gave him an opportunity to apply God's word to them. And so he applies the interpretation of these dreams in verses 8 through 19. Joseph knows God's place even from prison. He knows who God is. And he's not afraid to tell those around him. Even though he's in a horrible situation, in the pit, serving these guys, yet he knows and he points to God as the interpreter of all things, of dreams. Now, we don't put a lot of stock in dream interpretation, but that culture did. And God uses that. Now, I have to realize that dreams are mostly, at this point, a construction of our mind. But certainly we read in Scripture that God has given dreams and visions. And especially before the Bible was available, the dreams were there to point out the future and to point out who God is. Certainly these were miraculous dreams. They're not normal dreams. And so God, Joseph knows, is the interpreter. Here, we also must understand that God is the interpreter of all things, not just of dreams. God is the interpreter of Scripture. We are to compare Scripture with Scripture to understand it better. There's an awful lot of people that say, "Well, I can just read a passage, and what does it mean to me?" The question isn't, "What does it mean to me?" The question is, "What does God mean? Do I know what God is saying? Not what I want to think. What I want to believe." And so it is opened by the Holy Spirit, the Scriptures are to tell us the will of the Word of God. Luther understood this. Two separate believers reading Scripture will come to the same conclusion about Scripture because of the work of the Holy Spirit. God is the interpreter. God is the interpreter. We have God living within our hearts. Glory be. And so two separate believers will come to the same conclusions about God's Word. It's not an anathema. I'm sorry, an enigma. Wrong word. It's not something we can't understand. It's not a code. It is God's Word revealed to us so that we can read it and believe it. God is the interpreter of history, and we'll see that as we continue through here. Joseph's in a pretty rough time here. But God is preparing. God has His plans laid out. And this time is part of setting up Joseph to be second only to Pharaoh. And so, brothers and sisters, our time is not to be spent when we're having trials and troubles saying, "Oh, woe is me. How do I serve God even when our trials are hard and harsh?" And if we can think of something worse than what's going on with Joseph here, I can't. And so, brothers and sisters, God has His plan. Joseph may not see the whole of it, but God has it in His hand, preparing it, directing it, even if it was years coming, as we read in the first verse of chapter 41, 2 years later. And so with us. Now, very interesting, Joseph's previous attempts at dream interpretation had been pretty rough on him so far. So it got him in this mess. And yet he is not afraid to go back and say, God's the one who interprets dreams. He's not afraid to go back and to focus on the Almighty God. Joseph is obediently spreading the truth of God to those who didn't know. To these two guys in prison. And so we hear the butler's dream. And we hear that he is going to be raised back to his previous office in a few days. And so, Joseph, as he has interpreted the dream, tells the guy, hey, you're going to get out of here. Don't forget me. He uses the opportunity to present his case to this man. Verse 14, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house, for indeed I was stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. We don't just sit back and say, well, God's going to take care of me. As Christians, we are to spend our time in service of God. And that's what Joseph does here. God gives him an opportunity. He doesn't say, well, God will take care of me. He says, this is an opportunity for me to get out of here. Didn't seem like much later on, did it? And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years, the chief butler forgot about him. And yet God uses that seed, as it were, he planted. And so our works, our witnesses, may not seem to bear much fruit. That doesn't mean we stop and say, well, can't do anything about it. We are to spend our time focused on the glory of God. And God will use us for His glory. The butler's dream. And then we hear the baker's dream. He was encouraged by the good report. Verse 16, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I was also in my dream, and I had on my head 3 white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. Noticeably, he would probably not have brought his dream without the encouragement of the good interpretation of the butler's dream. Very interesting. Something we would never even think about. God ordered which dream came first to Joseph. If the baker's dream had come first, we probably never would have heard the butler's dream, and there would not have been Joseph out of prison. The most minor thing is ordered by our Lord. Glory be, brothers and sisters. Glory be. And so God uses everything, even the order of the dreams brought to Joseph, to determine and make it noticeable the accuracy of Joseph's interpretations. We note that both of them came true. And so when Pharaoh had a dream 2 years later, oh yeah, this guy in prison over here, he told me what was going to happen. And so God uses that. Now note that the dreams are not terribly difficult to understand. This one, of course, doesn't look too good. Pharaoh's birthday is in 3 days. And yet, God uses Joseph to interpret the dreams. Maybe it's just my perspective, having heard these dreams ever since I was a little kid, too. But anyway, notice that Joseph is willing to tell the truth, despite how hard it is. It's a lot easier to tell the interpretation of the butler's dream. The baker's dream is not so pretty. But Joseph is truthful in interpreting both dreams. Ever figured out what the word soothsayer means? Soothsayer. Make you feel good about yourself. Wonder what's going to happen when I go to the soothsayer to find out what my dreams say. They're going to tell me something good. Of course, it's all a bunch of manure. We are not to keep silent when God's Word speaks to a situation. When we look at our culture and we see it going down the toilet, we ought to tell them why. We need to be a witness within this world so that people around us see the truth of the gospel, the salvation which God has given to this miserable sinner and to all of us. I use myself, of course, as an example. Other soothsayers will make things seem good, but Christians must stand to point the truth, not just anything everybody wants to hear. And so we see the butler's dream, we see the baker's dream, and we see that God provides in His time. Notice, we see the truth of Joseph's interpretations. He's not just some soothsayer saying, well, this is what it means. No, what Joseph said came true. Joseph's interpretations had come true, not just the butler's either, the good one, but the baker's. And yet, Joseph is left, as it were, to rot in prison. He had 2 years left in that prison. We read in verse 1 of chapter 41. Despite the wonder of interpreting dreams, let me tell you, interpreting dreams was something a lot of people did at the time and very few people got right. Joseph's interpretations had come true. And yet, he was forgotten. And he sat there in the pit. We get concerned if things don't go our way for a couple of times in a row. I know I do. Joseph has been on this downward spiral, not by any fault of his, for numerous years now. And at the end of our chapter, he's not done going down. He's got another 2 years to sit there. And yet God is good enough for him. And God is good enough for us. If He puts us on a downward spiral for the rest of our lives, we hold fast to the faith which God has given to us. As Job said, if God has given good, shall I not also accept difficulty, hardship from His hand? And so, brothers and sisters, we look at Joseph, left, as it were, to rot in prison. God is good enough for even those hard situations. God is sanctifying Joseph. He's preparing him, and we don't understand it, and we don't have everything in front of us. But God is preparing him to be second only to Pharaoh in the kingdom. Now, we may not ever become second in the United States or whatever it be. That's not important. What is important is that we serve God no matter what happens. He has saved us. How much more do we need? And God uses the seed, if you will, that Joseph planted. And brothers and sisters, we ought to be ready in all situations to speak the truth. Who knows what God will use when we are obedient to Him and serving Him all of our lives. It doesn't have to be. Look at God all the time. But look what God has done. How our attitude is changed from that of the world. As we read in Philippians, just the fact that we're honest will shine as lights in a crooked and perverse generation. And so, brothers and sisters, God provides in His good time. We ought not despise the day of small things, but serve our God in all things. And so, brothers and sisters, God uses His people's obediences for His glory and for their own good in His good time. We don't know when that will be and how that will be, but that doesn't change the fact that it will be.